Good evening.
Long Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bernice Seminole, and tonight we're going to be discussing Native American oppression and their oppressors. Chinupa Gluhamani co-hosts Block Talk Radio, discussing a variety of issues that affect Native Americans in the city and on reservations. Chinupa?
Yes, Chinupa's here. I'm going to start off with a prayer for everyone that's tuned in. Welcome on board again. We missed you guys yesterday, but we can correct it today. So here's our prayer. Oh, Tonkashila, I can't count. Now, one man has got in a Nahaki Wakampi, and I was like the oyster papi, and uncoopy asna. Ho wopila trunk of a man has got an oyate donahook, a nugget ton a cock, you let wopila trunk eat cheat up. Ho, let's use Unki Aki. Ho, Mekaki Epi. Good evening. On tonight's show, I'm going to start this understanding of real serious with a little issue that really is happening today. And what I'm going to get into is really going to be, in a sense, it's not a discouraging understanding, but a sense of how America does things when it uses the perfection of colonial policies to take human rights away from our people. For people that are tuning in and calling in to talk on the show, I give you that opening welcome. Come on in, introduce yourself, what state you're calling from, who your name is, and what tribe you're affiliated with. And so we can continue on with the show. So as Bernice said, Chinupa is a co-host on this show because I've been doing a lot of work for our people, both in the incarcerational, you know, system, whether it's a penal or federal, state, or otherwise even tribal. But the other part is to that I fight on human rights as an independent catalyst, exposing the truth and corruption of how America does things to neutralize those human rights of people of color. And I'm talking mainly that the African people are targeted all the time, and the same with the indigenous people. So red and black are constantly at the throats and the yoke of slavery at the hands of the white race. The yellow man, on the other hand, has little yet to connect to when it comes to this abuse, but he too is targeted by the white supremacist in this country of ours, known as Turtle Island. I hate that crass term, America. So America doesn't exist. If you do try to pick up on the American concepts of the way they do things, then you're going to blend into that melting pot. And no offense to last night's listeners, we try to keep this openly with the prayer and doing things of song and connect ourselves, because this show, at my sister's request, she gave us this opportunity out of the kindness of her heart, and I'm talking about my sister, Leona. And Leona has been doing a lot of these shows to help people expose the corruption when it comes to Native people and people of color incarcerated because of the system abusing them, inmates and otherwise. And this is how we became a partnership, a friendship of love. And as people of color, we continue to expose these behaviors because white America is already crumbling because of this vast devastation of how those colonial policies are failing the people. There's even Caucasian folks out there condemning how this government orchestrated this pandemic of this coronavirus, when in fact, it's just a third stage pneumonia. And the rest of the listening audience can't get that. They can't understand it. But America has always been a fear-based country that will put you in fear. So if you look at it, wherever state you're calling from, look at the people, how they're misbehaving. It is them, that fruit and that yoke of slavery that they have implemented to stop you from moving ahead. Everything is trying to go into a market ship where everything has to be purchased and served under Amazon and many other telecommunications through the computer system. And so we try to look at all these matters on that caliber because America, let's be real, the concept of America want the people of color gone. They want the black people gone. They want the indigenous people gone. They want my Mexica brothers from down in Mexico gone. And they also want our people that are yellow. They want them gone. This is how the white race works. We have done nothing to that man but taught him how to live off the land, took him in and gave him a chance to understand primitive culture, that this is what you were released from, captivity. We don't do that in our country. So that's the whole implementation. What he did to us, he's afraid to do it to his own people across the water. You will never see in history that indigenous people invaded anybody else's country and forced their language and their way of life upon them. It never existed. It's never calculated or recorded. And this is why we brought this understanding to light today, because, you know, when you have organizations and groups that claim to be programs like the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, these people do not represent the murdered women. Hear me, folks. They do not do that. When you are given a 501c3, that's the federal government telling you what to do and what you can't do. So you don't serve the people's purpose. You do not serve life. You don't understand that. You can't focus on that without a means of a opening value where it comes from a mother. And many mothers are asking those questions. Why are you standing there on the integrity of saving our women, when in fact the mothers are still doing it without joining a purpose of the missing and murdered indigenous women? That's a false pretext. That's what I've been saying all along. I've seen this through the American Indian Movement. I've seen it through many others, even the Black Panther Party, even the Brown Berets. I've seen these things. And then when they became 501c3s, they cannot stand on the integrity of exposing the corruption within any said reservation. They will not. No different than this city. So this is a war against people of color that the white race is continuously dividing us in a virtue that's not ours. We know what it is to live in poverty. We know what it is to live under the abuse character at the discretion of white America. And we have never, ever taken that understanding and put it back on him. Because Americans lie. Hear me, folks. Listening audience, hear me. Americans lie. White people lie. Everything in their good book that they bastardized in the name of the Heavenly Father. When those illustrations of the Ten Commandments were created for them, they broke every one of them. Every one of them. Even idol worshiping is one of them. And today, in 2020, our people are losing that concept, not exposing the truth of how America is killing people. The animals are being subjugated to this death. And it's the discretion of white America's whole capitalistic control that's enforcing imperialism. Our people are losing that concept, not exposing the truth of how America is killing people. The animals are being subjugated to this death. And it's the discretion. So for a majority of the listening audience, I gave you that information openly from the heart. And I'm going to turn it all back to you to call in and take a response to this understanding and add on, because it's only getting worse, but we people of color need to restrain ourselves and back up from it and stay together. We need to stay together, people of color. We're the only ones that's going to save the rest of the humanity that's coming and the ones yet unborn. We're the keys to the future. We are those grandmas and grandpas that left us because of this sickness. This sickness is about population control, to kill the babies and elderly, and that's what's going on. I would urge all tribal people, and even our brothers and sisters in the African and the Hispanic and the Asian communities, to file genocide complaints against this government. This government needs to be held accountable. Many tribes in other countries across the water have done that and brought them to their knees. And that's how they overthrew their country and turned it back into an independent nation state. Don't forget, India did that in 1934. the same time they forced the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 on the said reservations of Native population, and we never agreed to that. That's how the white man works. He forces everything in the colonial conscript to neutralize your individual rights as that Native person of the said reservations. Back to you guys.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, begin wherever you want to introduce.
This is Jenny.
Come on, begin. Begin, Jenny. Bernice, I heard Jenny talking and all of a sudden she disappeared.
Yeah, well, everything's on. I don't know where she's at. Jenny.
That wasn't even me. I don't know what Jenny that was. I heard that too.
That was Jenny. I was asking you if you were going to say anything because I heard you. I thought it was you.
Oh, no, I called in, I listened. But anyways, what was I going to say now? On the human right, that's what the one that I always wanted to, for people to stay strong on too, like what Chanupa talking about with the human rights and what. There's a lot that our people really need to wake up to understand it, you know, because we can talk and talk and talk and that's it, you know, but if we all say that we have something that to help our people with, well, what is it that really we have to do to get that to start to form? Because, you know, there's so many things like parent rights, or even with the UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Peoples' Rights and stuff. A lot of these things that people don't know about or don't understand about, they don't understand a lot of these things we're talking about, you know. And that's what the part gets to me, you know, because we can talk about all kinds of things, whatever took place on a radio station yesterday. Yeah, I wasn't on there. It should have never happened, but that's not what we're talking. We're not trying to create something like that. Even with the Missing Murder Indigenous Woman Project, I always say, you know, project because it's like a program, so we're the project. I have never heard from our family, has never heard from them due to our own niece that was murdered in Utah. And she's going to be the lady, that young lady, and the guy that was there. Their sentencing, that girl's sentencing, is going to be on January 12th. So from the understanding that I got yesterday was a misunderstanding, because I know how when people, they get asked a question or something, and then if they feel kind of offended in a way and what, because only reason I say they feel that way is because they never really lived what they're really trying to bring out there as awareness. They probably never really lived on a reservation where it's really happening, you know, and your own people are doing it. So I wish I would have came on because I have like 49 plus people from our reservation, men and women, that are still, their families are wanting to know who killed them. two of them, some of them are still missing. So that stuff like that, yeah, it's touchy, very touchy when we speak about that now. But again, those things are not the only things that are going on. There's a lot more that are people, they don't want to talk about, they don't want to speak about it, they're afraid to speak about it or something. And I always tell them, you know, those days are over with. You know, you have to start speaking up today. You know, because we have a lot of things that we have to really take a bigger look at. No matter whose mouth is coming out of or what, but I always say I don't know everything. Everybody says they, you know, they don't want to know everything, and I don't want to know everything, but I'll learn every day. So in order for anything to happen, our people are physically going to do what it takes to help our own people to figure this out for these crises that we're living in and that are still coming. So we ran under a government, very corrupt, greedy, white society government. And that's always been our battle and what, you know, other people use that have education for their own pockets and what, or whatever they do to get the money into their pockets, I don't know, but we know there's a lot of abuse of it too, a lot of things. But I'm happy we're going to get this radio station back on track with what we talked about and try to help each other with it. That's my...
You know, Jenny, before you end your conversation, I wanted to add something to that from a historical point of view. We have struggled with a lot of diverse societies from the concepts of why the modern, you know, viewpoint became very binding to our situations. For instance, you know, issues like happening like tonight and elsewhere. But one of the things I wanted to add to strengthen Jenny's little essential piece of this historic, you know, significance is the fact that when you present your people towards the future where we're going, because in Lakota they say, meaning prepare for the future. So Jenny has a strong virtue to that. The plurality to it, which is a cultural diversity, that's what reiterates the commitment for what you have from that sociological economic system. Okay? And I'm only expressing these because I've learned the tools and the trades of the white man's language to give it back to people that can see that that abuse that they inflict upon people of color is still in existence because it's a cultural warfare. They don't want us to sing, dance, and do all that. Look, since this pandemic had orchestrated its view of light, powwows were stopped, sun dances were stopped. All of this thing, and I said this in the past, if you're not careful with what you play with, they're gonna take it from you. And they did just that. And you people that were playing with it, they stopped you. Sad but true. But you deserve that. The rest of us have to continue on to keep the suffering away from what little people we still have left that are still with us. Now, I just spoke with a grandpa today. And this grandpa told me something that it made a lot of sense. He said, my boy, he said, pay attention to that big picture in front of you. And he said, So he was saying in this big picture of this painting that he's seen, he said there were nothing but white people and all the people of color were gone. And that struck me. That struck me tonight. And so I had to tell my uncle. I said, Uncle Sam, I want to tell you something. Thank you.
So I gave you that.
Gave you that understanding. This is what we've been saying historically and otherwise. And we have to stand truthfully together on these topics to use that urgency to promote our indigenous human rights, to protect the structures that this political and economic system is trying to take away. Histories and tradition and the spiritualities in those cultures, those are our philosophies to the future that are still upon the land. This morning when I went out to pray, I prayed for everybody. And I didn't notice this, folks. When I was Wachekion in the Lakota language, putting my smudge and smoke to the four directions, right down below the hill where I was praying at, there were four buffalo laying there. One of them stood up and looked at me. So I knew my prayer was answered to reconstruct this show and other things to get people back in the right path where we've been going, thanks to our sister Leona. And this is what it takes. That level is recognized not only by the great mystery, Mother Earth, and all the animal creations of the four directions and the winds and the seasons that change. It'll also get us to focus on the problems that we are encountering in December of 2020. And with that, I'm going to wheel it back to people because I know there's others probably calling in. And if Jenny, you want to add on, continue on too. I give it back to everybody.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Everything that you're saying is like, it fits, it connects to not only myself, but others that we talk to or what I speak with, they all feel the same, you know. And we have to, even I don't read, no, never was converted to the European religion or nothing like that, but that's why I never really thought I needed to read anything of the Bible. Because that wasn't me. I always felt that way. You know, but I know I'm not the only one, so I don't feel any way about it now, you know. But that took me a while to understand. So that's why everything that you're saying, it kind of connects to everything that's being told up here, too. You know? All the way up to the north, the tribes up north, they're having the same issues and battles as it with the government system over there, all directions of it. Well, that's why we know what we're talking about. It ain't made up. You can't make this up. You know, I wish it wasn't true, but it is. You know, we have to understand what this change is that's coming in, whether how you want to say you pray about it or what. But that's why it's going to take the people. And we can't say, well, we need everybody to come running to our reservation. No, that's not what it's saying either. Our own people have to come together and help each other through it. For us up here, I look at it as going to be food source, which should be for everyone, food source mainly. And then your water source. So, it's a lot to everything that we're speaking about, but it don't mean that everybody has to begin to walk again, because we walk every day, so don't really mean that, you know. And they encourage people to walk. Some people can't anymore. So that's what they're talking about. We have to quit being so greedy too, you know. We gotta kind of quit buying what we really don't need. We get blamed for all of the garbage that we buy, and it's them that's creating it. We buy it anyway. So there's a lot of things that people need to look at, you know, because we get put down a lot. You know? They look at us in a really crazy way. But they got to remember, you know. They got to remember, you know, they got to tell the truth one day. Yeah. And a lot of them don't even know the truth yet. Some of them do. It's the ones that are creating it and causing it, playing God with everyone. So, yeah, these are the things that we need to speak of, like, you know, like we do, like, every day amongst each other. Well, that's my opening.
Well done. I appreciate that. That is very sad, thoughtful to you for speaking it from a woman's perspective. Is there any other listeners out there tuned in? Go right ahead. Introduce yourself and begin.
Free and independent.
Honshi Bryce Henyehe.
Ah, let me look.
Oh, where will I call, Nishan? Wherever you want to start, go right ahead, brother.
Back in 1999, the Elders Council here on the Good River in South Dakota, they come up with a couple issues. One was on the language. And then in 2000, 2001, the Chitwan Treaty Council, from 1999 to 2001, they did interviews, and they come up with a document called the Violations of the 1868 Treaty. And then they forward that into the International Court of Justice. And then in 2000, they come up with the permanent form on indigenous issues. And then it led up to 2008, where the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People came out. But during that time, we had representation, but a lot of the Oshkwayaki land, Tuayaki, they weren't being fully represented at the United Nations. That document came into existence. Obama signed that. The English-speaking countries were withholding from signing. Britain didn't. They came in on it. The British, United Kingdom. But Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States, they were holding back. Just as the United States holds back on the Committee on Racial Discrimination. Because they get up and walk out on those issues, like in South Africa when they were coming out with the apartheid, and Nelson Mandela finally become a president of South Africa. And then with indigenous people here, we have all the right now to stand as a nation. And through our language, like 99, when the elders were trying to secure that our language would be utilized by the families. At that time, they said that it would probably be about 20, 25 years, and we'll be past that now, but they said there was 125 languages here out of the 570-something. Federal recognized tribes. I don't know what the number now is, because some of these tribes have lost their last speakers. And if that don't bring a sense of urgency, if you're Lakota, whatever affiliation in indigenous nation you are, that sense of urgency is there to stand a nation under your language, with your language. So now we're in 2020, going into 2021, and we have all the rights to talk of freedom and independence here, and we do have allies. So we need to incorporate. This is when you mentioned the IRE, Indian Realization Act, federal statute to do away with your language, your culture, your history, and you become a white man. That's basically what the Indian Reorganization Act did, and they even stated that your children would eat grass, you know, so they were forcing that down, especially in the Great Plains area. As you look at all the divided 9 tribes in South Dakota, you see how they use that tactic to keep us separated and separated in our mind, body, and spirit from who we really are, who our Creator intended us to be. So all these things are simple, common sense. But we have to use, like, both sides of the coin. You know, you have a head on one side, which is intelligence. And on the flip side of that coin is the Wambali, and there's the ego. So it's common sense. But when you're living accordingly, it's Plesangwe. Representing Wakantanka told us that these things, when the Wambali comes, your voice, what you're calling out for to your voice, to the Creator, it will be heard when the Wambali comes. Takes your request. No songs that go with that. Those things are true. And those are supernatural ways that help us understand that we're weak two-legged here, but there's a greater force, a greater power that could help us to understand this universal concept of freedom and independence. It's God-given. And why would we argue over something that was given to us by the Creator? And the natural laws that go with it, also the international laws that go with it, it put us like these elders that have journeyed to the spirit world. They left things here for us to carry on. And if it wasn't for them, then we would truly be like those 12 lost tribes they talk about from over there overseas, you know, where they're always fighting. Israel's the 1% over there is a warmongering element. Just like the 1% in America, that's a warmongering element. And that warmongering needs to end. It's destroying this planet. These natural laws, the water, life, air, everything that's connected, they're destroying it. And there's examples to that are real and present and clear and dangerous actions that they're doing against this planet and against the life forms on this planet. So unless the truth, and the truth will prevail, we do have to have an independent governance structure that we've had for thousands and thousands of years, when we had the balance with the sun, the balance with the moon, and the balance with this earth and the water and all the natural ways that are here with creation. We had that balance, but it's out of balance now. And that's what our ceremonies have been telling us. But there's good news from the Rosebud. The tongue, they don't want to be your hop, they slit you. They choke who's a killer, they're cheap. But when the grass turns green, this virus hopefully goes away. And that tells a lot if you have a lot of faith and belief, which we need today. We have to have a lot of faith and belief and love and understanding. It's something that was given to us by the Creator. And that's, you have to have that yoni, ohola hechise, unanjitin, wahwala ya, manuk de hecha. Nalakutem, chahela lakutte torchi, na chante mahe, na ri washagia, na voksabin, na he wushla, wokia, ya, dala, unanjit de hecha. And we got a timeline, so we need to really pulled together on this independent structure of being independent. That's the way I have to, you know, how it's been intended to. It's good to listen to each other and understand and love and respect each other and our ease. Ah.
You know where my little brother Bryce reminded us with his illustration there. But I'm going to read something to you that my grandfather and them left real quick. And when they written it in Lakota, they left it to this piece of understanding. And I'll break it in English the best I can, because I explained this to our Blackfeet people this afternoon. And this is what Grandpa and them written. Now, I wasn't born when they written this. They written this 3 to 4 years earlier, before I was born, because I was born, 6/25/57. So Grandpa and them written this in 1953, the year my mother obtained English for the first time. My mom was broken English. She didn't know crap about English. So 1953 is when they written this. My grandfather, it says, Shante Ohitika Wichasa, a.k.a. Roy S. Martin, Peter Fills the Pipe, Sr., Guy Dollknife, Sr., Ellis Head, Charlie Hardheart, okay, Matthew King, Thomas Eagle Fox, Polly Little Spotted Horse. These were the old men that mentioned these things in the past. And respectively, Konkashila, Frank Matho Wambly, Fusco, and Peter Ketches Sr. Okay, this is what it reads, Mitakiepi. So bear with me. Hey, honey, Oyateki. Taku lena machpia takya woyuk chankile oyate kupi wamak hashka hena echa kahapi. Taku lena wichoha ogna echumpikta sa wolakhota na wichoekile wamak hashka hena nahach. Nahachti, you happy. Tokata kya, wak sape wanshi, oyateki, toini, wia, lena, ektunjap, shnio. Hetsanoki, oyateki lena, sicha, waka pikte. Ho etsuha, wichoye kile, onki he, wia nahach. We are Nahachi, Wa Blessed, Wa Yukcha, Wa Yukchamte, Hena Suta, Chanteo Ogna, Oyus Papi. Heoncha, We are Kile, Tokata Kya, Wichoni, Nahachi Ota, Ois Papi, Natokata Kya, Yab Ashna. Hohetaha, Hohetaha, We are Kile na Wichasha. Iecha oicha kya kauna tchokata kya toske oyateki oyacha kinktehata woa bleze woyukcha tehena tchokel wichakwe na etaha kusha makha ankata wichoha ogna hesus e ptayala inojipo lesus e oyateki chimpi tchokel Wamak haska hena echa wopche woaksape woyuksha nahaki wichoniki hey you happy heonsa waons pekile you happy chalena lessons e ikseuichasa nacha onkie woyuksha tokatakya owapi ogna eongnapi hole elo.
Okay, folks, what my grandfather and all those old men were talking about. They were talking about the women telling the men what to do, okay? First and foremost, because they are the givers of life and keepers of life. And so these old men were told. Now, all these old guys that put their signature here, this is my grandpa's work, not mine. I only read the illustrations, but these guys written it in Lakota. They were preparing us for the future, for what was coming. And so these old men got together to keep this message very pure and open to the governing body that would protect the women. And to this day, we don't do that. That's sad, but true. Because of Western culture's contamination, we're forgetting the principles of what these grandmothers were telling the old men to do and get the young men to move forward and protect what little territorial boundaries we still have. And all of this that they were mentioning in this letter here, in 1953, they were talking about this language officially belonged to the animal nation, meaning the buffalo. And to this day, in 2020, the buffalo still talk Lakota. Our language never illustrated in the virtues of English, but they written it to the categories of what they could. And if you notice me reading it, I paused to pronounce some of the language that was illustrated in this. I didn't do that. They did, and their signatures are there. These are men that I knew as a kid. I knew these guys. I knew of them. Some of them participated with the American Indian Movement when we took over the Wounded Knee Hamlet here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And if it wasn't for Russell Means, the late Russell Means, God rest his soul, he would have never opened that dialogue of the independent structure on Wounded Knee in 1973. We declared that as an independent state. And so periodically, as times changed, as we grew into the modern concepts, all of us that were in the occupation of Wounded Knee went to prison for the stuff we believed in when we went in there because of the tribal governments and the states and the federal governments neutralizing those right-of-ways by enforcing the BIA to neutralize our traditional power amongst our elders and our women. That was the hardball that every reservation within the Western Hemisphere faced, and a majority of us that participated in these occupations, no matter if it was Mount Rushmore, here in Wounded Knee and elsewhere, Alcatraz, the BIA headquarters in Washington, D.C., we all went to prison because that's the white man's mentality. The man knows nothing about jail because he's came from jail. That man was incarcerated all his life because of his abuse of his spiritual practice. My little brother made something very clear. He said, "We you're going to have to do it in a calm compassion of an attitude so people can hear and see." And I agree with my little brother because our people used to do that. And the contamination with the American concepts of the English allows you to get mad, anger, stresses out every form of it. And the nature, we forget those basic principles that came from our people. This language I'm using is only that true to describe what our people already set forth. And all the trails on Turtle Island were created by our four-legged. Don't forget that. Those were our original roads. And don't forget the map of the 1840 that these elders were talking about. That map consisted of the rights of way that belonged to the indigenous people since time immemorial, before the white man start segregating our people and taking these land areas and creating states. So when they created states, that destroyed our people that occupied those great homelands. And that was their homelands called paradises. And I'm referring to that piece called the 1840 was the natural boundary of the Western Hemisphere's right to its people's own living before the treaties were made. And that 1840 acknowledged the whole territory before they were mentioned as states. Because states began in 1864 when they established the In God We Trust on the American concepts of monetary existence. American concepts of monetary existence, where they say it stamped in 1864, In God We Trust. So they're thinking that God is scolding you and is going to punish you if you steal money. Hell, the white man's been stealing every day since he arrived here. And there's nothing honorable about that man. And when I reflect to that, when the territorial boundary of the 1840 west of the Mississippi and Missouri River, the states that were recognized back then, what Grandpa and them were talking about, was the state of Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And anything further west of that was all belonging to the Nez Perce, the Blackfoot, the Shoshone, the Lakota, the Crow, the Arapaho, the Cheyenne, the Kiowa, Apache, the Comanche. Why do I say it like that, what was written in front of me? Grandpa knew that that's how the independent structure was carried out since time immemorial. I wasn't even born when Grandpa and them were doing it. So Grandpa and them must have seen things in their time, what this white man was capable of doing, to segregate us from each other. Haven't we learned the history of what he did to our brothers and sisters from the African continent? Look what he did to the 19 people that they brought over here. That's how slavery began. And when the White House was abandoned in 1787, that's when the corporations took it over. That's how the cotton industry became mutual, as the commerce exchange, how white supremacy began to rule. And they used them Confederate states to fight each other back and forth to keep that power compelled to neutralize human rights amongst the indigenous people and our black brothers and sisters. How inhuman is that? That's why we can't break that concept of putting the blame on the white man. That is the problem, folks. You can use his language, you can interpret it to any philosophy that you want to, but if your heart is not pure from the blood that you come from, which is the four-legged, to who we are as two-legged, as the nations we're from, we'll never free ourselves from this captivity of this yoke of slavery that the white man has imposed upon us. And it's still here. But that man's reckoning is here. The spiritual awakening is already going to be 7 years old when the Red Cry documentary came out in 2013. It's already 7 years old, and we got 6 more years to fulfill it, to get back into the traditional elements of the spiritual mechanisms, and I'm only using these terms in the white philosophy to implement that. Because if I speak the language, I don't want to interpret for you, because we're all adults and we should know it. We should understand that. But it's not my fault that you weren't raised amongst your elders and the people that gave you an opportunity to live with them. And the people I'm talking about is my Buffalo people. They gave us this value. And for once, folks, for once, all of the stuff that the imperialists brought into our country, remember, they brought it here. Even marijuana, hemp was brought over here. It's never been a product of this country. Never has been, and it never will. Get that concept out of your hearts and minds. If we're going to think about being independent to help our people sustain themselves and grow and keep language in its place, we got to think freedom. That's the way catalysts are going to save it, to open that door to the 22nd century where we're all going. I'm going to be an old man to see it. I'm 63 years old today. But I still remember what my elders always told me, even my late grandfather. He said, my grandfather said the white man created all kinds of things. Don't pick it up and claim it as yours, because it's going to be hard for you to put down. He was right. They knew about the future because they could see it. Just like I told you all in this tonight's radio broadcast, the buffalo, I didn't know they were watching me while I was praying. And then when they looked at me and made their noise down there, that made me cry, and I honored, and I called Jenny to tell her that. This is what's happening in that spiritual awakening. They listened to my prayer. And when I drove around the hills, the buffalo looked back at me and said, hey, that's Chinupa. He's one of us. He's okay. And they did. They looked at me. I saw this with my own heart and eyes. And you people can do the same thing if you put that stuff aside and start finding that path you're supposed to be on. There are many trails that our animals created for us. Get on them and find your direction. And that direction is going to return you back to the center of your heart. Anyone else want to get back on board of the show, go right ahead. I turn it back to you. Go quiet down now, folks. Come on.
There's no other callers, Bernice?
No, there's just 1440. There's you and Chinupa. There's two callers that dropped.
Two callers that dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, continue on. Bryce, Jenny, wherever you want to add on, go ahead. That's a piece of history.
I was seeing if anybody else would want to talk or give them a chance to talk or what. But, yeah, what the both of you are talking about, that way I think it really kind of connects to everything. Even how Bryce was saying we were given something, and we were. We really were given something. But remember, in 2013, that's when it was given. Hmm? These 13 years of a spiritual awakening, that's what was given. So all of that, we have to understand where that all came from. Mm-hmm. So everything that he was explaining and why, and even with yourself, how our people, yeah, those old ones, they were able to see because they were here before us. So they were taught before us the stories and everything, the language and what, all, everything that we're speaking about today. And today we have history of why a lot of our people, even including myself, ain't speaking the language. I have my own story, though, but there's a lot of reasons why, because it goes back to the missionary days where they were being beaten and everything, so they grew up to not speak the language. So they didn't want their own children and want to know the language because of all the abuse that they went through. So we have grandma still today that talks about those days, even grandpas now. So, but when we're talking about the spiritual awakening, it's when we're supposed to be, and we're supposed to be waking up to understanding what was given to us through knowledge, and what if we were actually sitting, listening, and learning at the time. Because it goes back into the days with myself, it goes back, my grandparents go back into the days when they were hiding ceremony. They were hiding it out because of, they didn't have the right to do ceremony, but they were hiding it out. So I was born into a family that came from that back then, those days. And it was really about the teaching that our traditional people are supposed to know, supposed to be teaching their own. You're supposed to have some type of knowledge of it. If they actually, you have to actually be there, see it, understand it, so you remember it. Hmm? What they were talking about and what they were teaching. But a lot of us, we have that, but the heart has good, and it's good, supposed to be good for our people, but a lot of our people today, they don't want to hear it, or they deny it. They'll say things against it, and that's the ceremony itself. So it's hard for a lot of us to even be heard by our own. But me, I don't let them try to beat me up with that in that way. That's spiritually. I don't let them beat me up with that. Then I always just speak up and I say, yeah, I'll speak up for my ancestors because I don't agree with what happened to them. Your ancestors are grandpas, grandmas, and all that, those are our teachers. Those are my teachers, and they're not here no more. So a lot of people, the way we talk and we understand and feel about things, a lot of people treat us differently. They think we're crazy, but I know we're not. Well, what you guys are talking about, what you're saying, yeah, our people need to wake up and quit denying who they really are. Truthfully, they need to wake up. I don't like to talk in an ignorant way. I don't talk against anybody's belief, but they got to remember, without us, we would still not exist, because a lot of these people that say they live in America and what, like they always said, that's why they're the way they are is because they don't understand where they are. They don't belong here. That's why it's so hard for them to accept the truth. Other than that, that's how I feel. And as far as human rights, well, yeah, I need to know what our rights we actually do have left, or if there's any. And I know there is, because every day they're trying to figure out a way how to take them from us. And that's our territory. We have to not forget what really they're about. And we have to look at our own system of people, who's running it and what, do we really trust them? Because any one of them could sign a piece of paper today. We got to figure that out, how we're going to, form something where that don't ever happen. Yeah, that's how they're going to get rid of us. No matter if you have the language or not, they're going to get rid of you. They don't care about any of that. I don't know.
Can I respond to that?
I always think about it.
Yes, respond.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is Leona. I was listening to what Jenny was saying. You know, one of the things is you've heard the saying, divide and conquer. Unite and conquer. Divide and united we stand, divided we fall. And this is what happens with the races. A lot of our own people have become too Americanized. I traveled one time. I was in Ghana, West Africa, and the people of Ghana were talking about the African Americans and how they go to the countries of Africa and they're like the American, the white Americans. They go to the tourist attractions and then they come back to the States. They don't try to explore their ancestry by going into the different villages of Ghana. And this is what's happened in America, is that a lot of times our own people are so, those especially in high places, they look at themselves as being accepted by the white man because their peers are accepting them because of the work that they're doing, similar work. But they look down upon their own people who are not of high status, their own people who are below them. And one of the things is, this is why we remain divided in this country, not just the blacks and the browns, but the reds and the beige as well, is because we need to stand together, unite in overcoming this oppression that we're all going through. This is what we're dealing with. And just like in January, I'm starting this thing where a national thing where people all of all issues, incarceration as well, to be calling into the media, to be calling into the politicians, to be calling in, into the civil rights and human rights organization and demanding that changes be made, because this has to stop. So for the whole month of and I've already started notifying everybody on Facebook, all the groups and everyone, a lot of them are ready to do it. You don't have to leave your home. Just start making calls to all of these people. Let the media finally bring it out. And someone had said earlier, the women have been, and the men, have been so oppressed that they've been afraid to speak out. But because they haven't spoken out, even like with prisoners, they have in the past, they were too afraid to speak out. But the abuse is so bad now that they're going to be abused either way. So they're finally getting to start to speak out. And that's the way we need to do. We need to bring it out into the open. And whoever called in last night with the problem, that was their problem. That was their problem. Because we're old enough and we're wise enough to be able to talk about these issues and bring awareness without having to feel offended or without having to get upset. And I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, remarkably said, Sister Leona. You see, folks, this is what we've been saying all along. Jenny has been a good inspiration in these radio interviews because of the momentum she was carried by her ancestors, her grandparents. Her grandparents were still recognized in Little Sister's Land in Canada. And when I listen to her tell me these illustrations, it's no different than my little brother Bryce, where the sacred pipe is, where it used to be. I don't know if they brought it back. That still remains a different kind of category and mystery. But I'll leave it right there. So when we get back into those elements of what we say, I've been to Kenya, I've been to South Africa, and I've been to Zimbabwe. So what my sister Leona is reflecting to is so very true. They don't go and blend in with the ancestral people that still live there in the continent. Some say that was the original basis and birthing process of the original man. Maybe according to their customs and culture and tradition. Over here in native, you know, country of Turtle Island, our buffalo is what brought us out of the earth. That's our origin story. So we are the original red man of this continent. Every color of man came from somebody or something spiritually. So when Sister was bringing this illustration out, it's to help us acknowledge where we really came from when people got away from the spiritual practices of their everyday living. Thanks to little brother Bryce, Jenny, Leona. These are the concepts we try to bring back on to help people like Bernice and many others that are still searching. But one of the critical parts that people don't want to do, and I'm only laughing at this because it's just circumstantial. The reason why I laugh about it, everybody's afraid to look inside themselves, and that's where the answer is. If you surrender to yourself, everything will come back naturally. The animals are still doing it. As I said today and this evening in this little edification, while I was praying, the animals were watching me. I drove off and they were watching me again. How remarkable is that to stay in tone with our four-legged brothers and sisters? That's where we came from. And that's the blessings I give back to everybody that's on tonight's show, and I will it back to all you listening audience and you people that are on board. Go right ahead to add on continuously. Go ahead. And thanks, Bernice, for helping the show out, too.
Oh,
you're welcome. So I have a question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
You talked about the spiritual awakening. So could you tell the listening audience and myself some background history on that, when it started, what it's about, and the prophecy, and the end result, maybe?
Okay, let me really get this illustration out there for people like Bernice and many others that are just now growing back into it. Our ancestors once said, meaning, this sacred way of life is going to return again, and we've got to be prepared for it. So as kids and, you know, growing into adulthood and so forth, I remain within that principality, and I'm only using that term again, folks, because I'm always going to always go back and clarify myself. I only use that to express it for people like Bernice and Mother, many other listening audiences. What they said was that when this spiritual awakening, they called it this wowakha, which is true. It came back, okay? So every 13-year cycle, it does that. It comes back. And look at it, the purity of it, the originality. But first and foremost, you have to surrender to yourself. We can't always remain negative if somebody's given us some illustrations of knowledge. That's the problem with today's generations. Which is the knowledge. Okay? Just like, you know, we all have a certain understanding in the Lakota culture that expresses that wholeheartedly. So when the spiritual awakening came back, these grandmothers predicted that. That's why they got together and created this documentary called Red Cry, and I was so honorable to be part of it. Thanks to everybody that helped make that documentary possible. That documentary, when it first came out, it was outlawed by the federal government, and people began to chastise it. People began to say horrible things about it, but we kept moving. And just like a majority of you, we used not only Indian people, we used the Caucasian people as well, because they had the cameras and the film work production. We did that both ways. So you can see that we joined that type of force with them. And let me tell you, those white folks that helped promote that and create that documentary didn't ask us to teach us and teach them about our sacred rites, our sacred prayers. They did not do that, because they too were connecting to where they came from across the water in their own traditional form. I kid you not, folks. And those people, half of them went home. Only a couple of them are still in this country of ours. That's remarkable. Don't forget Matufo. Matufo did the same thing. He was brought over here, his family, during the transatlantic slave trade. He went home, and he died over there, and his family's still over there. They don't want to be here. They've seen exactly what the indigenous people have been talking about since resistance became a flaw through history. And I'm talking about during the time when the Panthers and the African movements, and there was a guy I met named Johnny Africa. I remember him so well. He was no different than Kwame Ture. His Anglo name was Stokely Carmichael. I met these brothers in my time, no different than Thurman Statham, Dr. Edmund, and Dr. Martin Luther King III, and Johnny Mack, and Impress Chi. I met these people in the African movements that were struggling to fight for their people to get back into freedom. And to this day, a lot of them failed that purpose. Unfortunately, they're still at it. And I know they're at it because I haven't heard anything about them passing on. So what Bernice was saying, when the spiritual awakening returned, it was to give us that knowledge that we were missing. And it's right outside. It's outside your home, wherever you're at. But your heart has to be inclined to it. It's like a magnet that sticks to metal. And once the two connect, you can't separate them. If you take two magnets and put the surface, you know, smooth parts together, you can't separate them either. That's the way the indigenous people told us. And you know how they told us in Red Cry? Aunt Bernice said it best. You stay here and don't go over that hill. If you go over that hill, your language is going to be gone. Everything traditional is going to be gone. And she said it best right there, Aunt Bernice Whitehawk. Don't forget her. And she was broken English in Red Cry. And she's still with us. I sang at her Sundance this year. So the point to this history that we're talking about, the prophecy said in the 13-year cycle, get back into the traditional elements that's yours, and then you can pick back up what is missing. It never was missing. You were just afraid to pick it up. And that's everything that's going on out there today in a traditional form. As I said to you earlier, again, I'm going to say it again. I prayed for a good show tonight. And Bernice, really rethink this. We don't want you to go off this show. You're doing a hell of a job. So stay there. I'm offering you that. You're doing a good job. We might got sidetracked with all those people. Stay right there, man. We got Leona. We got Jenny. We got other women. We know what we're doing. We created this show together. And let's stay together. We got Bryce. We got Lanny. We got other people. And it's only going to get bigger and stronger because of this message and knowledge we share with everybody that's listening out there. When that 13-year cycle comes back to fulfillment again, all of the animals that are reproducing themselves and reappearing, the red, the yellow, white, and black, they're showing their true meaning that they have not ever left us, and we have to get back into that traditional element. Go backwards and stand and look at the four directions, and you will see everything clear. That was the prophecy. These elders said that. And in order for the prayer and the pipe to get stronger, we have to respect and honor them. If you honor and respect the sacred, I'm only using that term again, as an instrument, the way of life, allow the men to use them and the women pick those pipes back up and secure them for us. Get off the drugs and alcohol. Be real with it so we men can use it the way it used to be. I know my mom and grandmother took care of my pipe. And I used it at their discretion when I asked for. They told me what to do to prepare to use it and smoke it. And that's the honorable way. Don't forget. Nata Ekakawe. Don't forget Alkhead Woman. She's the original keeper of that pipe that was up there on my little brother Bryson's territory. Ekaka Natawin. That was her name. Alkhead Woman. She's the one that took care of that bundle. And that's the way it is in Indian culture and history. I will look back to all of you, and I hope I answered it to the best. Because the 13-year cycle, if we don't pick it back up in the next 6 years, it's going to leave us again. But the ones that did pick it up, it's going to be real honorable times for all of us to continue on in a peaceful fashion. No kidding. Really believe in that, because we all come from a tribe that still preserved language, culture, and spirituality. Back to all of you, audience.
Thank you.
Yeah. What you were just saying, it really helped me to know that what we speak about is very real. And that's why I will say our ways are real for us, that where it came from, our own grandparents and what before us. And you think of how many years they had to carry those stories from the beginning of time. And those stories with us, they're still right here. We're up here and we're still in our original territories up here. We're still trying to stop them from drilling in a sacred area that a lot of our stories came from, where it took place at. And you think how it is today. They don't care about anything that we say is sacred, because they just look at it as a mountain or a hill. But they want the trees first and then kill whatever else is living in there. And that's what's sad about it, because we have to carry these stories even as women. And you really do understand the teaching. You know not to play with it. It's not to be played with. But a lot of our own people are doing that. And they're doing it for other reasons than the real teaching. Because this teaching, it goes way back to the beginning, even when Earth was being created and what. But for the Turtle Island teaching, that's the grandmother's teaching. And that's an old teaching. That's the one that we have to bring back as women. And there's only, I can't say every woman's going to know what it is, but there's certain women that can. They'll teach it. And that's what I listen for. I got taught by a lot of grandmas through my life, my teachers. By the time I got old enough to start understanding more, my teachers were already gone. So I knew to listen to grandmothers, you know, all the time. They have something to share with you. And then listen to the grandpa, too, because they always listen to what the grandmas say. So you'll know certain people who really are real with it and people that aren't real with it. If you're actually born into it, around it, and not talking about the pipe itself, how to respect it, how they have to gather and go, you know, get their food, natural food that wasn't from the stores. No, that's feeding. You know, there's certain times you have to do ceremonies. So when you're around it, you respect it. You, even though you might move away back from somewhere else, and but you always come home to it. It'll always tell you that you're part of it now. And it's nothing to have to do with bad things or anything. People talk like that because they believe how the white man told them. So that's something that I always carry, you know, because my great grandma, she was one of the original keepers of that ceremony, the Cunny Woman ceremony that talk brings about the creation stories, you know, when the pipe was brought and what. But we have to keep that ceremony as original as it was given, they say, because there's something other than that that was given to our women. You know? So that one, we can't give that one away, they say. We have to keep it for our people. When these changes really do come. That's why you look at it, you know, in the whole global world and stuff, the bigger world, the bigger picture. I know there's people all over. There's not just us up here. There's indigenous people all over. And they're all still fighting for the same thing we're fighting for, to bring that back and not that to ever be taken from us. And then there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. Well, it just, you look at it and you think, gee, you know, we have all these people that are practicing, you know, stuff that bring darkness and that. You know, that actually are doing that. We have all kinds of things going on when we talk about spiritual. Everybody has their own experiences with it. Good argument. It's always bad, though. Always bad. We have to wake up every day. That's why people say, I always tell them, if you pray every day, then what are you afraid of? I mean, people are afraid to lose their home, jobs, and stuff like that. If not, if you say you pray every day, then what are you really afraid of? I know we have to wake up every morning and pray for that protection and what. I'm asking every morning because the way that the whole world has become. But most of it, yeah, I know what. And I feel the understanding of how the women need to come back. Well, and they're out there, we're just scattered. We don't have this connection, phone connection. We don't have each other's phone numbers or what. But they're out there. But yeah, It's all real. All I can say is it's all real.
Right on. That's great to hear. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kashi Bryce, are you still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nishan, Vogelaka,
it's your.
Just a couple of current event stuff, you know, that Trump, he started a missing, murder, indigenous women task force there. That's coming out. That should help, you know, because I hope he gets the right people in there. They'd be effective. The other one, veterans issue. We've been trying to get a National American Indian Veterans Charter since 2005. And we've been discriminated against, you know, in 1995, they 50 years, they come out, you know, it's top secret, but the Code Talkers came out in 1996. The Navajos were the first to get that recognition, but then all the tribes, and even to World War I, World War II, the Code Talkers finally had our Code Talkers recognized, and they should have done it earlier. You know, a lot of them passed on without that recognition. But it's just a charter, you know, National American Indian Veterans. There's probably 200,000 veterans, American Indian veterans here in America. And we wanted to ensure that, you know, they get the best health care and the benefits and everything that needs. Sometimes, you know, veterans aren't treated right. They started a 7-country war, and a lot of them veterans got left out in the cold, you know, coming home. A lot of them young guys commit suicide. You know, this war is not good. A lot of these outstanding soldiers and generals, they don't want to go to war. The last thing they want to do. It's this 1% that controls these elements of religion and monetary system and the war machines. That's the element that's the enemy to mankind. And that has to be brought out with full disclosure, just like the unidentified flying objects. The UFOs, he don't want to shoot you. According to him, I tell you, it's just a Lakota, it's as if you have. He don't want to shoot you. He's what they call unidentified flying objects. And what Chanupa said about a crazy story coming out from Middle Earth. Like Admiral Byrd came out with Operation Paperclip, and now the Antarctic is revealing itself because the snow is melted, and the Inuits and Eskimo, all of them, changed their whole lifestyle because they don't live with that permafrost no more. It's all melted, so they have to move on to the mainland. So this world has changed, and it's changing. And it's either going to be better if all of us, humanity here on this planet, stands together. We could salvage and make better what these guys are doing with the 5G stealth weapon that they have now deployed up in satellites and their 5G towers, wherever they're at, and the LED lights. Wherever they set this up, and they set it up to hit rural America too, because that means every zone is hit and infiltrate into these deep underground bunkers too, so there's nowhere to hide with the stealth weapon. And all of this is a concern for us because it affects our neurological system and it causes cancer. Just like this SARS-2 COVID bioweapon that they deployed. And now they say they got this vaccine. And I said, I listened to the committee talk the other day. They have a
Vaccine and Biological Product Advisory Committee, and most of them voted yes to deploy this vaccine from Pfizer. And there's four that voted no, and I would have voted no, and one abstained. So, again, it's a moneymaker, billions and billions of dollars going into a vaccine, and I listened to the Pfizer representatives talk, and all I could say was BS, you know. And it's plain as day, common sense to tell you that preclinical trials take 1 to 2 years. And you know, I guess we'll wait for 2 years because they can't mandate that on us. And if they mandate on us, you guys better wake up. We have rights here, too, you know, that you can't mandate that vaccine on anybody, really. Should be opt-in and opt-out, and we should ask for full disclosure on everything that I'm saying, but we should ask for full disclosure on this vaccine, and that's what we've asked, is that we want to know every ingredient in this vaccine, because even the big, powerful Catholic Church, billion-plus members, now they're saying there's baby cells that are involved in these ingredients. So that might be a moral issue for them to get vaccinated. But they should pound that drum to say, get your vaccination, you know. You first-line nurses and doctors and all our vulnerable elders are targeted to get this vaccine. Now, you know, we got to think about it. I think that what Trump said, again, he started this task force, which is good, and he also said when he got out of Walter Reed's military hospital, he said that this, I forgot, I think Moderna, one of these, they come up with this cocktail of treatments. And he said it worked. And he said every American should have access to this treatment that I got. I agree with him with that. Why aren't we concentrating on that treatment? You know, why isn't that treatment opened up for every American here, 330 million? You know, now they're talking about this warp speed vaccination, which is crap. I'm not even taking it, you know. And, you know, so there's no pros and cons to it, of course. But until they tell us what every ingredient's in that vaccine, and you have to keep it at below 80 degree temperature, what happens if it doesn't? You know, what does it morph? You know, it has to be keeping it extreme cool. A lot of questions unanswered that I listened to, and I listened to that committee, and you can tell which of those committee members, which way they're going to vote. You know, you just tell. And so they are okay in this, and then they all actually got threatened that the guy running it is going to get fired if he don't get it out, you know. So that should tell the American people a lot of stuff and that common sense, intelligence, whatever. But I think these issues are going to be on the table for humanity. You asked about prophecy. You know, when the UFOs and these vaccines and these stealth weapons and these exotic weapons like chemtrails, they're chemtrailing the hell out of this planet here. They're chemtrailing like heck in South Dakota, probably Montana, California, New York. They're chemtrailing. That is going to be a major health issue, and probably a percentage here of 330 million Americans. How many have respiratory problems, you know?
26 seconds in the show.
So it's these are the issues that are facing us, not only us, it's facing this planet and humanity. So these are issues that we need to stand together. I say when it affects their health and welfare, that's a class action. And there is some action in California on the chemtrails, so we should look at these things legally, too, to stand together against this deadly death upon the planet type of scenario that they're carrying out. You know, it's not good. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll end it real fast here. And thank you all for participating, Jenny, Bryce, Leona, Bernice. And we'll see you all next week. I love you all for tuning in, and let's keep our information going. Okay, thank you all, and good night, and stay well.
Good night. Good night. Yep. Bye.